You have not yet been harvested until you go on in the grace of God and the fruit is seen in your life. Now notice, as soon as the fruit appears, at once he puts in the sickle. Why? Well, if you're a farmer, you know why. Once the fruit is ripe and you leave it there, it's going to rot. The rain comes upon it, it's going to rot. Or you leave it there and the birds will eat it. They also know how to enjoy ripe grain. Or the animals will come and eat it. Of course, immediately you put in the sickle. You harvest it into eternal life. And so we long, press on. Now, this is maturity. This is not to say that any Christian becomes perfect in this life. Paul says in Philippians 3, those who are mature will think the same way as I do. He doesn't mean those who are sinlessly perfect. We don't become sinlessly perfect in this life. But maturity comes from a total consecration to Christ, a total commitment to Christ that produces the fruit of the Spirit. And again I say, by total commitment in the Bible is not meant that you will become a full-time servant of God. I don't know how many times I have to say that. It doesn't mean that you become a preacher. It doesn't mean you become a Bible teacher necessarily. Every one of us is commanded to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and strength. Every person in Israel. But it didn't mean that because they love God with all their heart and mind and strength that they all become preachers. It is the quality of the life that you live that matters. A total commitment is the quality of your life. That's how you're going to produce the fruit. So I beg of you to understand, for the sake of your salvation, for the sake of your eternal well-being, don't just receive the word of God. Thanks be to God that you have received it. Don't be just content to see some transformation in your life. Thanks be to God for that little transformation. But press on towards the mark. Well, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 and 2, perfect holiness in the fear of God. Do you have to fear God? Yes. Perfect holiness. Or again in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, work out your salvation, which he works in you. Notice the dynamic grace, that grace that inspires you to work out your salvation. So we can see that although this parable seems to be so simple, so small, almost insignificant, how important is the lesson the Lord teaches us in this parable? It is the lesson, let me say so as we close now, as we sum up. It is the lesson of this, that God's grace is the free gift of life to you. You don't earn it. But you have the responsibility to see that this free gift has a transforming effect and produces the fruit. Because unless you produce the fruit, you will find no place in the kingdom of God for you. That is the biblical teaching, not my teaching. The Lord Jesus, for fear that you and I don't understand this point, has emphasized it by a whole series of parables. But today we are so ignorant because few people ever study the teaching of the Lord Jesus. Most preachers like to select their own favorite verse and they preach every Sunday on this handful of favorite verses instead of preaching the whole counsel of God's word. Do you know the teaching of the Lord Jesus? Do you know that Luke chapter 13 verses 6 to 9, for example? Read it when you go home. Luke 13, 6 to 9. The parable of the barren fig tree. You know what happened to the fig tree that was barren? Read the parable. It got cut down. Was it a fig tree? Yes. But because it didn't produce fruit, was it planted? Sure, it was planted. Did it have life? Yes. But because it did not produce fruit, it cut down. John chapter 15. You all think you know John 15 verse 1? Doesn't the Lord Jesus say, the branch that does not bring forth fruit, what happens to it? It is cut off. And as though that point is not understood well enough, it is thrown into the fire. It's the Lord's words, not my words. What it means, I leave it to you to think. The branch that does not bear fruit is cut off and thrown in the fire. Or also Matthew chapter 21, verses 33 to 43. The parable of the tenants, of the wicked tenants, who did not produce fruit, who did not hand over their fruit. And what is the concluding word of that parable, you know? Therefore, the Lord Jesus says to the sons of God, the children of Israel, who are also called sons of God in the Old Testament, you know, remember. He says to them, to Israel, because you did not produce the fruit, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a nation that produces the fruit of it. Will be taken away from you, sons of God, children of Israel, the chosen people, the people of the covenant, and given to another people that produces the fruit. That's why we have a new covenant. Are our ears deaf? Are our eyes closed to the scripture? Draw your own conclusions. Do you understand what he is saying? That is why in speaking of the parable of the sower, the Lord concluded with those remarkable words. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. He seemed to know that many people would hear and not understand. God help us to see that. To press on towards maturity. To press on to fullness in Christ. Being a Christian means to be changed. Do you know that? Nobody is saved who isn't changed. That's what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 onwards. We are being changed. We are being changed from one degree of glory to another degree of glory by the Spirit of the Lord. That's what Christianity is about. Changed where? From glory to glory into the image of His dear Son. That's why He says, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the new man created in the image of Him that created it. Isn't that wonderful? That's what Christian life is concerned about. So I would like nobody in this church to sit back and say, I am safe now. My seat is reserved for me. I can relax. Listen to Mark chapter 4, this parable of the Lord. He warns us that the harvest takes place only in relation to those who bring forth the fruit. These will be harvested into the kingdom of God. May God grant you ears to hear and to understand. Let us be quiet before God in prayer.